White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 546.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello, and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, in association with thewareaglereader.com, and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family. You are our Patreon.com family. What would we do without you? I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
Well, John, we've got several things to talk about all over the map. We're kind of all over the place tonight because it's June, and that's kind of how the news tends to work in June, is there's a lot of this and a lot of that, nothing huge. There's not a football game or a basketball game to talk about, but there's a lot of stuff around the periphery of those and other sports going on. And we're going to have an extended conversation about a topic that you wanted to kind of dig into a little bit tonight. What is that?
That is the name, image, and likeness changes that are coming to college sports.
Yeah, so we'll get into that in a little bit. But before we do, we have other news and items, things to talk about. So how are things going over in the East Coast?
They're going well. Enjoyed the week off last week, and it was good to get a break. But then back, recharged, tan, rested, ready, and ready to podcast. And how are you?
Yeah. Well, we discovered lots of things around the house that needed immediate attention as soon as, the spring term ended. So I've been hauling rocks and I redid the outside electrical outlet today, and I bought a whole big pile of 46 brick-sized rocks to build a wall around a tree in the yard. And
You built a mailbox?
I built an awesome mailbox, man. That was my first ever attempt at making concrete. And judging by the fact that the mailbox is rock solid and doesn't move at all, and it's a pretty big, heavy one. I must have done a good job. We had the cheapest, worst looking mailbox in our entire neighborhood that came with our house. Clearly they went and spent $20 at Target, and said, "What's the cheapest thing you got?" And they hammered it in the ground. That was it. So it was at a funky angle the whole time, and the mailman backed into it one time, and you know how that goes. Well, yeah, we went and got a fortress of a cool, kind of a bronze colored one with concrete holding a 4x4 wooden post in the ground. I mean, a hurricane could knock this thing over, I hope. So I've done a lot of outside work, but I've also been hard at work down here in the Palatial White Rocket Studios, just as you have been hard at work getting our book done. And you were able to deliver that long-awaited, much-anticipated part 4, which is the heart, honestly, of this book, right? We kind of worked on either side of it, but that's really the emotional heart of the book. And you got that together and sent it to me, and I've been working on my part of that. And we'll talk more about it in a little while, but I'm anticipating, I've still got to break down the 1989 Hall of Fame Bowl with Ohio State. I just this afternoon finished the first time ever 89 Iron Bowl. It's like the War and Peace of football chapters, man. It is, it's got the pathos and the battles and the fireworks and the drama and the emotion, So just the stuff that you and I talked about, and then the stuff I'm kind of adding from other people too. So I'm looking at, I got to do the Hall of Fame Bowl. This is where I'm just going in, finding old newspapers online and doing the play-by-play and stuff to just kind of lay out what the game was like. The key moments, Some of them it's like a paragraph. Some of them it's two or three pages, depending on the game. Got to do the Tennessee game from 90, the Stan White comeback, right? Got to do the 1990 Florida State game. Ooh. And then after that, I think there'll be two pages and the chapter's over. Because, I don't know if you remember, John, but 1991 and 92. I found a video on YouTube about, it was the 1990 Auburn Florida State game, and it was like one of those ESPN breakdown things. And at the end, it's like, you know, Auburn defeated number 7 Florida State in 1990, and then it said this was the last time Pat Dye ever beat a top 10 team. And I just kind of went, ugh.
Yeah, I believe it, though, when you say that. I'm like, yeah, that checks out.
You know, it's funny because at that point in that season, I don't mean to go down a 1990 path here. I haven't even gotten to that part yet. But it is interesting, though, to think that in 1990, we were actually at that point well up on where we had been at that point in 89. The 89 team lost to Tennessee and lost to Florida State, but still ended up 10-2, won the share of the SEC, and beat Alabama. Whereas the 90 team tied Tennessee, better than losing, beat Florida State, better than losing. So at that point in the season, the 1990 Auburn team was ahead of 89. That's kind of funny to think about it now, you know. The 90 team was ahead of 89. And it all kind of went wrong on a hot, humid night in Gainesville when the universe said, Pat Dye, meet Steve Spurrier.
Yeah, the past met the future.
Oh, my goodness. And then the hangover from that, we come back, we lose to Brett Favre, Southern Miss. We lose to Alabama. And we end up playing in the Peach Bowl when the Peach Bowl was not the Peach Bowl it is today. It was a cut above the Weed Eater Bowl back then, honestly.
It was the Liberty Bowl. It was
Indiana. That's who we played, So, but it just amazed me to remember that it's like the pitfalls that got us in 89, we actually more or less overcame in 90. You know, midway through the 1990 season, we were like, national championship, baby, here we go. But the 89 team went up, and the 90 team went, yeah, so there you go. Well, anyway, now that we're all excited from that little walk, but that's the kind of thing that I'm kind of digging through now as I'm trying to add a few highlights more to the book that we didn't have already. So anyway, let's get into the news, how about. Looked like we had a lot of recruits come into Auburn over the last few days.
Yeah, football recruiting is at full speed. Lots of players coming through every single day from all over the country. Not just guys who are seniors and extras class, but, you know, juniors and sophomores in high school who are, you know, a class or two out are coming visiting Auburn unofficially right now, building relations with the coaches. And I think it's gone well so far. Yeah, there hasn't been any big commitments or anything, but I think they know they're laying the groundwork with these guys. You got to build relationships. And we know a big advantage for Auburn is getting guys on campus. And they haven't been able to do that for a long time at Auburn. And this staff, this is their first swing at recruiting. But it seems like it's going pretty well. And reaction's been good. And so that's, you know, I'm not getting hung up on an individual player here or there on the recruiting side. But it does. There's a lot of activity for June. Normally a very quiet period, but it is going full speed.
Do I understand that they really are trying to go further out of our region than normal? And is that a good? And I've seen kind of mixed reactions. I've seen some people say, "Oh, good, we need to try something different." I've seen some people say, "Yeah, that never worked. We need to focus on Alabama," which Gus had kind of given up on, as well as Georgia, Florida. You know,
I get it. You have to recruit in Alabama. You have to recruit in Georgia. And that's, I think they're focusing on that, but it's also like recruiting's about relationships, and they have relationships in other parts of the country, this coaching staff. And if they do, and they have relationships with high school coaches with good players in other parts of the country, those guys should come visit Auburn. So I know they had a bunch of guys from Washington State come through, not normal for us, but they visited a bunch of players from Washington State came down and visited Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, and Clemson. So, you know, as long as you're in that group, that's a good thing. And these coaches have a relationship with players from out there. So,
yeah.
I don't have a big, I don't have a big hang up with going to recruit other parts of the country at all. So.
Well, yeah, I agree with you that if they're going to pick four, I'd like to be in the four, especially with that company. That's like, you know, if you go to Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, that means they're going here and not, or going to Auburn and not going to Florida or Tennessee or, LSU or Florida State or whatever else, you know. So I still want to know what Dabo sacrificed on the pagan altar to make Clemson a sustainable power. But anyway, so some folks from way outside, some folks, it looked like what I was looking at on the people that were there on day two, a lot of them were from like Auburn, Opelika area, yeah. A lot of local people.
Yeah. Yeah, they're trying hard to go to local people, Montgomery people nearby, because I think they're trying to build relationships. I mean, I think again, the guys they've taken as transfers have ties to Alabama high schools. So then when if they come to Auburn and they have a good experience and they like this coaching staff, they can tell their high school coach and their high school former teammates who are now recruits, hey, these guys are good.
And I mean, you know, the naysayers I've seen talking about Harsin have been like, well, what does he know about, you know, the Southeast and this, that, and the other? And I'm like, well, you know, he's got a defensive coordinator. He's got he's got Cadillac. I mean, there's people on that staff that know the area and are very well respected. I mean, you know, so I don't, and you know, and there's always the old point about Urban Meyer wasn't from Florida. Nick Saban wasn't from Alabama. So
that's right. You know. So if you're a good football coach, you're a good football coach.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. And he seems likable. People seem impressed with him. So it's not like we got, you know, some bumbling moron out there that, you know, it's not like, you know, it's kind of like with Terry Bowden, because we just did the chapter on him. With Terry, it's like you kept having to tell yourself, well, he is Bobby Bowden's son. You know, he does know a lot about football, I think. So maybe they can overlook the whole annoying, you know, side of his personality that drives us all crazy. Whereas Harsin seems like a dude that you would respect as a football. You don't have to make excuses, in other words, you know. So
yes, that's
it. Anything else about football recruiting going on? I know we've got a running back.
Yep, Jordan Ingram is a running back who transferred from Central Michigan. Originally played, you know, high school football in Alabama, I think around Mobile. So again, a guy that knows local people and is connected, and a guy that is willing to, you know, come in and be the third running back, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not coming in thinking he's going to be the starter or anything. So I think that's what but a guy who potentially could fill in and you know, carry the ball some if we had to.
Well, yeah, that's what we've talked about all along, is that the challenge of bringing another running back is they've already – We're in that weird limbo situation where we have several running backs, so you would think, I don't want to go there. And we've got one who's like all SEC, so you'd think, I don't want to go there. But on the other hand, we're really thin when you really get down to it, and we need, you know, somebody to come in. So,
and I think you have to look at it as a player, as an opportunity, right? Yeah. It is unlikely, you know, even as much as we wish it would, so that Tank and Shivers both make it through the entire season next year without missing a game.
Man.
So that's unlikely. I mean, unlikely. That's just mathematically. That's how the running back thing works. And so then you think somebody else is going to get carries. I hope it's me.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Running back and quarterback is not the safest place to be on a football field. So it's not like being the kicker or something. You're, you know, you're out there exposed every time. What about a JUCO cornerback? I may have missed this, so fill me in.
So we had the JUCOs played their season just now in the spring.
Oh, yeah, yeah, ended. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so this guy was a JUCO cornerback who had been committed to Tennessee, switched and committed to Auburn. He's going to come to Auburn. He's a three-star kind of JUCO cornerback, but a big guy, 6'3", 6'4", like 200 pounds.
Wow.
So really good size for a defensive back. And, he, you know, I think he gave up one pass for completion this season. So
I know that. I keep seeing people like on Twitter and all commenting on how many defensive backs are we going to take? It feels like we have like seven or eight different positions of need, and the position we keep filling is defensive back. Somebody said yesterday, can any of these defensive backs play offensive tackle? Sound like this guy probably could, actually. If any of them could.
No, they're all too thin, so that's a no. But yeah. I get it. But I think that one of the other things we need to remember is just like, where's football going? Football, it's turning into a passing league. And so you got to have guys who can stop other teams' big receivers, and you got to have a bunch of them. because they're going to play, you know, four or five receivers a lot, other teams. So that means you got to have, you know, eight or nine defensive backs that you could play pretty regularly.
How nice would it be to recreate somehow that 93-94 defensive backfield that intercepted everything and ran a lot of them back for touchdowns? I mean, that's...
Made stuff happen.
Again, working on the book lately, I'm just remembering all these things that I'd kind of forgotten, like how amazing that backfield, the defensive, the secondary was, and that LSU game is like their that's their masterpiece that they put in the Louvre, but they had a bunch of others too, including a couple against Florida, where they just kept picking off those Florida quarterbacks. So I would love to see all this recruiting of defensive backs kind of turn into a building just a really rock-solid defensive backfield. And like you say, we're going to need it because, you know, I look at the fall and we got a challenge ahead of us. So
very much so.
The barbecue will tell us, but we got a challenge. Let's see. Only other thing I see in the news is JT Thor apparently has made up his mind, or everything has kind of fallen into place for him.
It's a done deal. He is not returning. So we wish him well.
Yeah. Well, I never even had a chance to make a Thor soundbite, and now it's too late. I squandered my chance.
He's dropped the hammer and gone to the NBA.
Yep. So I don't think – I mean, you know, we certainly would have liked to have him, but I feel like Bruce has kind of reloaded the gun pretty well.
Very much so. Again, he is in a situation where there's no guarantee he would start if he came back.
Golly. So. There's an Auburn basketball player not named Charles Barkley or Chris Morris or Wesley Person or Chuck Person is going to the NBA because they have a better chance there of playing than on Auburn. What world are we living in?
Different planet.
I told my wife the other day, and she knew this, but I said, you know, what we're doing in basketball right now is not that far away from Vanderbilt going to the SEC championship every year in terms of similarities, you know, because we in basketball for a very long time, we really were the Vanderbilt of basketball in the SEC, the Vanderbilt football of basketball, rather, because Vandy's always been pretty good at basketball, except for last year. So, yeah, it's really strange.
Fair.
Yeah. I think the weirdest one of those I ever saw was a few years ago. In the Euro, you know, the European Soccer Championships that they do every 4 years, kind of like a World Cup just for Europe. And it, by the way, that starts Friday. So if you were sad that you missed Euro 2020 last summer because of the COVID-19 pandemic, as they like to say, it was postponed. And I kid you not, Euro, they're calling it Euro 2020, begins this Friday. It's like they're going to play the 2020 Super Bowl next week, you know? But, yeah, Euro 2020 begins next Friday. I'm not a big club soccer fan, but this is so cool because, again, this is like it's like the World Cup if only the year teams played. So, you know, you'll have England and Scotland are in a group together. How awesome is that going to be? You know, you'll have France and Germany and all these classic, you know, historical battles reenacted. But I was saying – Auburn in basketball or Vandy doing that in football would be is kind of like as a few years ago in the Euros, Greece won the whole thing. And people were just like, that's insane because they're terrible. So that, again, would be like Vanderbilt winning the SEC or something. Or Auburn going to the Final Four in basketball. Hey, look at that. Look at that.
So you heard it here first. Put all your money on Greece.
I put all my money in Greece last night when we made carnitas. Next up is the name, image, and likeness topic, right? So I'm going to throw the floor over to you, which is an odd visual, and take it away, and we'll talk about it.
All right. So the reason that we're talking about this is there's a bunch of change coming in this area and a bunch of impact on college sports. So I wanted to talk about it some and kind of get Van's reaction, and we got some good listener questions about this too. So this topic is name, image, and likeness. And so what does that mean? Where did this come from? And so the whole idea comes from this NCAA, you know, ideal of amateurism, right? That you're an amateur, you can't accept any money for your performance, and that they, you know, They have to be pure amateurs, even though we've seen guys who were people who are professionals in one sport come play another sport or that kind of thing, or people that were professionals in one thing come back and be amateurs in something else, which is a kind of a silly thing. And then there was kind of the Olympic model where some Olympic athletes could, you know, they could be amateurs and compete in the Olympics, but they were making money on their name, image, and likeness, right? So, and the difference is that you're not getting paid to compete or participate in the game. You're making money because of who you are and your name. You're not getting money because you're, you know, Bo Jackson, number 34 on the Auburn football team. You're getting money because you're Bo Jackson. You're a cool guy. People like you, and you people want you to endorse their product and stuff. So that's the difference. And so a few years ago, there was a thing where, you know, there was a player at UCLA who played basketball named Ed O'Bannon. And after he got out of the NBA, he was playing the NCAA video game. And he was like, "What? This guy in the video game is supposed to be me, looks like me, he's wearing my jersey on UCLA, is clearly modeled on me, like body-wise and face and stuff. How is that legal?" And so he sued EA Sports, and it sued the NCAA, whatever, and basically saying they're using my likeness. And so that's what got the video games taken off the market, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and the reason is because that the video game was using the player's likeness without compensating them, that they needed to be paid for their likeness. And the company was willing to do that, but the NCAA was not willing to do that.
Right.
They weren't willing to allow that in order to for the video game to happen. So the rules are changing. The rule changes are coming. And the idea is that the player, and this isn't all sports. This is not a football thing or a football basketball thing. This is that every single sport, men and women, in college. Wow. So gymnasts, swimmers, rowers, baseball, softball, cross country, golf, they're all in this, right?
Chess team.
There you go. So, you know, and so the big difference is we always hear this discussion about we should pay the players or college athletics makes billions of dollars, blah, blah, blah. And so, and when you hear this argument, a lot of it is about redistributing the money that's coming from TV revenue and that kind of stuff. And that is not what is happening here. Auburn is not going to be paying players directly. No college is going to be paying players directly. What is happening is they're setting up a set of rules where players can make money on their own while they're in college without being declared ineligible. So that's the biggest thing, is that it's a framework for players to make money and put, because the NCAA and stuff prohibits you from having a job in a lot of the seasons. They literally have a rule that you can't have a job. Because they're worried that some booster would give you a job and give you extra money. Sure. So you literally can't make money. No. And some, you know, get a little bit of a stipend, but it's not real money.
It's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, because the argument's always been don't give them an opportunity, a benefit that other students don't have. Well, there's nothing stopping other students from going and inventing Facebook, you know, while they're at Harvard or whatever. So how can Egghead go create a computer program and make $1 billion, but I can't get $100 for having my face on a paper plate or something, you know?
Well, it's exactly the same. So and you're exactly right, because any other student who is famous could go on, you know, online and make money off their likeness or their name and image, their social media presence or whatever. And so if you were a famous college student, you could go make money off that, right? They're Instagram influencers who are college students who are making money. So you're right. That's the deal, is this isn't just some special benefit for athletes. It's leveling the playing field so athletes can do what the other students could already do. Because the difference was the other students didn't have their eligibility taken away if they did this before. And so now it's going to be allowed. And so basically the rules are going to change effective July 1st. And we'll talk about kind of how the rules change. But basically, these are the ways that players in any sport can make money. Through social media. So you can pay them to sponsor a post or read an ad or, you know, retweet or endorse something. They could sell autographs. They can do like YouTube or Twitter videos where they're getting paid advertisements in those. They could do private training. The school can't pay them to train to be like a, you know, at a camp and they're training high school students, but they could go back like to a private club or their high school or some training thing and get with a bunch of other good players and offer like football camp and get paid for that. which seems that's a very reasonable thing, right? Merchandise, again, not school merchandise, not Auburn logo merchandise, but again, think about some players who are big name players. Honey Badger, if he had a Honey Badger logo, Manziel or stuff, they'd have had, or Tim Tebow, they'd had their own merchandise and Johnny endorsement football, deals.
Yeah. Yep.
So that those are the buckets.
Cam would have sold a crap ton of stuff.
Exactly. Cam Newton, perfect. So again, I saw on Twitter today, you ate at Chick-fil-A chick.
Chicken salad chick.
Chicken salad chick. You know what I mean. and so, again, originated in Auburn, chicken salad chick endorsement, you know, by Kerryon Johnson. He retweets the videos or something. Boom, they push him some cash money.
Yeah.
That's exactly how this is going to work. That kind of thing, that kind of tie directly. And I think Cam is a great example. He could have been endorsing all kinds of stuff.
Oh, man, yeah.
He could have endorsed law firms. You
know? Oh, my gosh. Oh, I wish I could do a Cam impersonation because I would totally do like, if I'm Cam Newton, if you need a lawyer quick, if they say you took money,
ongoing investigation,
I can't comment on the specifics, but if you have a, if you need it, if you toss that laptop out the window in a hurry, call me, call 1-800. Oh man. Just think with that, Cam could have actually gotten some money to go to Auburn.
He said,
we're just going to leave that. We're just going to leave that sitting there.
I'm just keep on going. So you can't wear the school uniform or the logo in the endorsements, right? You can't be like do an ad in your Auburn football jersey,
right?
But you could wear a blue and white football jersey that's not the Auburn jersey.
They already do stuff like that. Yeah, there you already see the generic, you know, the guy in the generic, like the NFL does it. If like a, you know, who's a current, like if Cam right now did a commercial as a quarterback, but it didn't involve the Panthers or whoever, he would just be in. I mean, the Patriots, and he would just be in a generic blue football jersey. Right. So they already know how to do that.
That's it. They've been in it all the time. And then there are a few, they put in a few rules where you can't do endorsements with companies that are not your school's key sponsor. So like if your company has a shoe deal, like Auburn has a shoe deal with Under Armour, they can't sign endorsements with Nike, whatever. But other than that, it's kind of open.
I wonder how that could affect recruiting. Like some big time guy comes in, like I'm going to have me a deal with Nike. Oh, you're an Under Armour school. Well, have a nice day. I'm going to go over here to Georgia where they got a Nike deal.
Maybe, but I have some thoughts about that. We're going to hold that point because that's a very good point. We're going to come back to that. All right. So in terms of the rules, this is where things get sticky. The NCAA hasn't even approved their final rules yet, even though it's going to affect July 1st. They're voting on June 22nd. About 20 states have passed laws, including Alabama, which are slightly different. But the goal of all those laws is to prevent the players from getting in trouble when they take the money. Right? That was kind of the goal of all the state rules from the beginning, was to say, if you take the money, you're still eligible.
Yeah.
But all the state rules are kind of slightly different, right? Because we know state legislatures they're not passing homogenous bills.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the NCAA has wanted the federal government to bail them out by passing one big nationwide bill. And the feds have said, hey, you're asking for this trust stuff that's kind of it's kind of antitrust, right? Mm-hmm. So you're acting like these people are not employees, but you're restricting their ability to earn money by saying they can't sign an endorsement deal with Nike and stuff. So they're like, I don't know if we're going to do that. So the feds haven't really moved on this. So the laws are kind of and the rules are going to be kind of a patchwork mess, I think. And that'll be fun to watch. But it's really going to come down to whatever the NCAA passes. Like, I think nobody's going to worry about what the state law is in this state versus that state, I think. They're going to focus on what the NCAA rules are. So what are the schools are responsible for? They have requirements about financial education. Because the players are going to be making money. They have to teach them, I think, about, you know, how to find these deals, the tax implications of them, but also how to avoid getting scammed and that kind of stuff too, right? And also to teach them about building a brand, like how that works and the value. And they could bring in marketing experts and professors and stuff to help with that.
John, that part alone is long overdue. I mean, how many athletes have left colleges and gone off and made a lot of money and then blown it because nobody ever, these are, you know, a lot of them were just kids from poor backgrounds who never had anything. They just go hog wild, and who could blame them? You know, they haven't got any training in it. They have needed to have something like that regardless of where they're getting their money from forever. So that's a definite step forward for sure.
Yeah, it's absolutely a valuable thing. So, I mean, that part is that, you know, sometimes there's good things that come out of all this.
And then there's the long snapper over in the corner going, man, I ain't getting nothing out of this. They're like, here's how to handle your first $10 million. He's like, son of a.
All right. Speaking of your first $10 million, so one of the big downsides is people are worried that this will make cheating easier, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like the NCAA has just finished caulking up the boat so that there's no more leaks. And this is just like punching a hole right in the middle of the boat. Like, we just got the thing to stop leaking. Been leaking for 50 years.
I think it's more like the boat was already on the bottom and you drilled a hole in it. So,
True. Yeah. But I mean, think about the cheating that was going on, though, back when we were, you know, in high school and college. Things like SMU, you know, and all that. They pretty much, I mean, part of it is they've gotten rid of it. Part of it, they crack down on it. And part of it is the school's got a lot savvier about getting around it.
You know, they
yeah. They learn not to just, you know, hand you a FedEx, you a box of cash. You know, they found these sophisticated ways of transferring funds to you without, in this modern world, without handing you a bag full of cash. So the bag man became like the ATM man or something, you know.
You're joking. There was a story about Tennessee that they were handing players bags of cash in McDonald's bags.
Oh, the McDonald's, yeah.
And the FedEx box thing, and some of my younger listeners will get that, but there literally was a basketball recruiter at Kentucky named Chris Mills who there was a big scandal that broke because a FedEx package on the way to his house broke open and it was full of cash. So
that was the best thing ever because Kentucky at that point had sunk to the point that they had to do that.
You mean, and they've always been doing it and always will be doing it.
That's true. And I was explaining that exact story to somebody at an Auburn basketball game one time when we were playing Kentucky, and this old Kentucky guy walked by me and he heard me. He just kind of looked at me like he wanted to kill me. I'm like, am I lying?
No, you are not.
That was the Eddie Sutton era. That was Kentucky on probation era. That was fun. Fun times.
So, you know, the biggest thing coming down the road, I think, is each school is going to develop like a system or a program to help athletes to kind of help them match their brand with potential advertisers. Because what you don't want is kind of the players out there on their own in the marketplace. You want kind of a structured marketplace where advertisers can go, hey, I'm looking for somebody in this area, whatever, this is what I'm willing to pay. And the, you know, then they could kind of match up through these systems. And so the schools are kind of setting up these kind of programs to match players and advertisers and to help kind of have some oversight of it. And I think the biggest thing is you made the point earlier about Nike. I don't think we're going to see that kind of stuff. I think if there was a Keem or a Manziel, maybe you're going to see a big thing like Nike or somebody sign an endorsement deal with them, right? But I think what you're going to see a lot more of is local. It's like, what I put an example in here is like the car wash in Sylacauga, right? Yeah. If there was a big time football player from Sylacauga who was at Auburn or Alabama, you know, that car wash pays him a couple of $100. They go on and record a Facebook ad or, a local commercial or something else, endorse that car wash and say, hey, that's where I take my car or whatever. And then boom. That's it. So I think that, like in today's environment, especially a really popular high school player who's then playing big time college football is a real celebrity and has the ability to influence thought in that way. So I think that kind of thing is what we're really going to see. And so multiple kind of local businesses supporting local players, that are now playing at a big college nearby. So and making more of a name for themselves. So that's kind of my theory. So that was a lot of me talking. What is your reaction when you hear this, that this is coming to college football?
I think that it's absolutely overdue and necessary. I think that they're trying, like they always do, to be really complex about it, very granular about it. The NCAA doesn't like blanket rules unless it's just like the blanket rule of no, nothing but amateurism. But I just think you can't, I mean, even the Olympics doesn't work that way anymore, you know. So I think, and in today's environment, I mean, plus remember, the thing that drives the NCAA the most is trying to be fair? No, it's money. And so if they start losing athletes to pro leagues that don't even go to college, that's going to start cutting into their bottom line. They need to keep, I mean, in some ways, this is the NCAA keeping itself viable as one alternative destination for the best athletes.
You're exactly right. And I think in our, you know, show, we automatically go to thinking about football and basketball. But I think some of the early analysis shows that some of the top earners in this are going to be, for example, like gym, you know, college gymnasts.
Hmm.
That they're some of the most high-profile athletes in the country, and that they're, you know, if Simone Biles was still in college, she would be number one. She would make the most money probably of anybody. And so, you know, college, you know, gymnasts, swimmers, they could make a lot of money in this.
That's awesome.
Not just football and basketball. So I think, but also I think like the College World Series is going on right now, right? You know, that you see these great pitchers from James Madison and stuff. Boom, they pitch a great game. The next, you know, that night, somebody's making a deal with them. They're endorsing a product. Boom. You know?
Yeah.
Come through the clutch like so-and-so. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could happen like that.
Oh, sure. It makes me think of Wade in Ready Player One after he found the copper key. He immediately, his email was filled up with endorse our gloves, endorse our mask, endorse our, you know, treadmill, endorse our everything. So, yeah, absolutely. That but I do. I think it's fair, and I think it's necessary, and I think that it took a danger to their revenue stream, as you would expect, to make them actually do something. It's a combination of legal threats and threat to their money.
Well, and you're exactly right. And like everything else, it's something the NCAA should have done 10 years ago. They're finally being forced to do, because in this case, the state's passed laws that said it's going to happen whether the NCAA passes a law or passes the rules or not.
Well, Tommy Tuberville famously said, you know, that the NCAA is always 10 or 20 years behind where it needs to be on everything. So he's right.
And they are in this case 100%. And so they're finally, you know, moving slightly into the, not the dark ages. But it's going to be different. It's going to be weird. You know, you're going to see some Auburn players, you know, sign endorsement deals immediately after big games, you know.
I'm going to Disneyland.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, again, the clutch catch, Seth Williams, you know, just like this product went boom. That's yeah, it. You know what I'm saying? Like right after the Oregon game, it's sell it. Boom. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I say more power to them, full speed ahead, and we'll see how it plays out come July and beyond. That's really good. I'm glad you brought this up. I mean, it is something we need to talk about. And certainly if listeners have thoughts and comments and questions about it, send those in to auwishbone@gmail.com or on Twitter @auwishbone. And that way John can conglomerate them up and we'll look at them next week, right?
No, we have a few for tonight already. So.
Oh, goody. Okay. Very good. Let's see. I've already given the book update pretty much. So I'll just tell you that it's looking right now like the book is going to be about 450 pages long, which is astonishing, and it's why we have two volumes and not one. But it will be done. It will be out by the middle of August. If I have to stay up all night for the next month, it will be out by the middle of August. And I'm going to post the cover on the Patreon page so people can take a look at it for our patrons. And I don't know if there's any, I guess the only thing, yeah, I mentioned the only thing left is to finish up part 4, and then I want to give the whole thing a rewrite. I'll let you take a good look at it, and then we'll see if we need to make any final changes to it. Let's see, do we want to do, what do we have in terms of our off-season position discussion?
I did not prepare one for tonight because I knew we were going to do long on this NOI thing, but I wanted to lay the groundwork. Because next week we're doing running backs.
Ooh.
So this is it. We've got to dilly dally. You know, I could have gone offensive line or something. We're going straight to running back next week.
Oh my God!
So you better all buckle up for that one, because it's going to be, you know, there's a lot there and a lot to talk about. And we will have some deep, long conversations about Auburn running backs and over the last 30 years and who we like.
That should be fun. That's like, that is the premier position historically at Auburn University. It is our running back U. Absolutely. So we'll look forward to that one. I guess we need to quickly thank our patrons, and then we'll get into our listener questions. As we always say, we don't do ads on this show. We depend entirely on you guys to keep the lights on in the studios and to keep all the bells and whistles running here. And in order to do that, we have a Patreon page. And you go there and you sign up and you pick how much ever you want to do per month to keep our lights on and our recorders recording. And I thank everybody every episode that does it. By the way, I want to appreciate everybody's good comments last week. We actually got several good comments about reposting the... I just went ahead and reposted our primer episode from last year. I felt like that was a good thing to go ahead and do now while we took a week off. So hopefully you guys that hadn't heard that before enjoyed it. And if you had heard it before, then... hopefully you got a chance to listen to it again and get something good out of it. So let me go ahead and thank the folks who currently are our patrons. If you want to join their ranks, go to www.auwishbone.com. www.auwishbone.com and click the big orange button that says become a patron. And then you go there and you're all good to go. Here are the folks. Excuse me. Uh-oh, I better wet the whistle. Here are the folks currently keeping us going as part of the AU Wishbone family. They include Chris and Clinton Stewart, Carl Von Drunker, Christopher Burleson, Samuel Salvatore, and then Bart Lindsay, Bradley Blackman, Chris Usher, Gary Grant, Logan Chilton, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick and Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, Ann Kangian, AU Falling Up, Ben Bloodworth, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Daniel Odom, David Evers, David Hegler, Emmanuel Seaman, Eric Morgan, George Gaston, Jacob and Robin Fleming, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B, Preston Settle, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Steve Harlan, Timothy, WDE Richie. We gotta get better at celebrating. Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Boddy, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Cato the Barner, Chris the Hilton, my favorite part of the list, Colby Butler, Danny Flack, on we go. I got the hiccups, John. That's not a good thing to have right now. Daris Benton, David Simpson, Di Bama, any day now would be great, thanks. Earl Ricks, Eric Mahan, Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kenoy, Kevin Mahan, Christian Thorvaldson, Lane Middleton, Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Algorithm, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Ross, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Snowdog, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Tony Perry, 76 Tiger, Stay Alive, Stay Alive. I like it. Nice. Alex Nguyen, you guys are just messing with me now. Auburn Elvis, Ben Amos, Ben Riggis, Brandon Smith, Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Darren Pyle, David Smiley, Donnie Reynolds, James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrecht, John Stubbs, John Zavachin, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, Justin Bean, Kathy Bright, Kenneth Brent Rains, Mark Squire, Matthew Flowers, and finally, Mick Vizicana, Paul Bankson, Public Land Owner, Robert Drain, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky, Stephen Thompson, Trevor Johnson, Brent Rumble, Chris, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. You make the difference between us being here and not being here. And so just go to www.auwishbone.com and join up. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you later about it. Now, on we go to, oh, John, we have a Guess the Game segment.
Bring it on.
I almost forgot, because Jared actually sent it in a week ago. And so he was like, he was on the ball and went ahead and got it done, and then we didn't do a show. So I've waited 2 weeks for this, and I'm very excited. Let me minimize you for just a second. Here we go. And then I'm going to actually Everybody bear with me for just 1 second because I'm going to move the files so that I can see John. We got this whole StreamYard thing going now. So I can see John. We can kind of do our visual cues at one another while I'm playing them. All right, here we go. This is Guess the Game 15 from Jared. Here we go. Who can it
be now? Hello, Van, John, and the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrick, the yard sale artist here with Guess the Game number 15. This one is a send-in from listener Auburn Elvis.
Oh.
And let's get right to it.
Well, they put 3 seconds back on the clock, so you give at least the maybe a chance. I don't know. I mean, you have no timeouts left. But you almost, if you don't throw
two,
it here.
You can get two plays.
If you throw.
But if you throw the football here on second down.
The streak is alive.
The previous play is under cover of you.
Oh, there you have it. You can review that play all you want, but I got a hint for you. It's gonna stand. So, what you got, Van and John?
Wow.
All right. A couple of clues popped out at me. It was definitely in Jordan-Hare.
Yes.
I heard Carl Stevens.
Agreed.
Or... Huh?
Agree.
Yeah. I heard in the background that... It's that great Carl Stevens voice that I love so much. I actually do that, by the way, on game days. I get a plastic cup, and I it's like if the game is at 2 and it's noon, I get the plastic cup, and I go,
your official Jordan-Hare Stadium time is noon. We are 2 hours away from kickoff of Game 5 of the 2021 season between the University of Kentucky Wildcats and the Auburn Tigers. For fans outside the stadium, pregame festivities begin in 20 minutes.
I just love that. It's been in my DNA, you know? I know that Richard listening knows exactly what I'm talking about, right? He grew up around that. That voice
it's
and that
stuff.
That cadence, everything about it. It's just, I think Jim Fife and our great Rod Bramblett, both of them great, get so much deserved attention, but I don't think that Carl gets enough. I think he's right up there with the two of them, every bit as much. We were very lucky to have him. So it was in Jordan-Hare, heard his voice, I think. And I feel like he mentioned a streak was still alive.
Yeah, he said streak was still alive. It was the 3 seconds left, and there was a play that was under review at the end.
Yes.
There was and the other team was down and trying to go for it, like they were talking about run or pass. Like
they had time.
Like they were talking about, could you do, throw a Hail Mary kind of thing. So it wasn't a kick a field goal situation.
You want to let's hear it again. Let's hear it again. This is tough. Oh, Elvis.
Hello, Van.
It's a long clip.
Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrick, the yard sale artist here with Guess the Game number 15.
It's
this
Elvis
one is a send in from listener Auburn Elvis. And let's get right to it.
Well, they put 3 seconds back on the clock, so
back
you
on
give
the
at
clock.
Least the maybe a chance. I don't know. I mean, you have no timeouts left. But you almost, if you don't throw it here,
you can get two plays
if you throw.
But if you throw the football here on second down.
You have it.
Hold on.
You can review that play.
Right.
The other team was close to scoring,
yeah,
but they needed a touchdown, And they went, and so they maybe even, you know, near the goal line, right? But needed a touchdown, and Auburn stopped them, tackled them in the field of play.
The clock
time ran out, and the clock ran out. So that's what, and maybe they reviewed it because the guy was close to a first down, close to the goal line, or something. So that's the kind of ending I'm thinking about.
I can't figure out the scenario where there's 3 seconds, the clock runs, but they still have to review it. Because like you said, it couldn't have been an incomplete pass and they had to review the catch. It you know, the clock, it had to have been like a
second. Could have been, was the guy out of bounds with a second left or something? Or did it cross the plane of the end zone?
Man, I tell you right now, the only streaks I can think of are 93, 94 with Terry, 2004, and 2010. And
but 2004, there wasn't a game like this.
No.
I don't think so. And so I think I think it could be a 2010 game. Right.
Yeah. There were several.
Could it have been Clemson or South Carolina? I like it for maybe one of the 93-94 games. I'm thinking about the announcers too.
Yeah.
They kind of make me think that's like not Jefferson Pilot.
Yeah, that's not a CBS 230 game there.
No, that's a Jefferson Pilot kind of sounding game to me. That's why I'm thinking 93-94. Right, it really have to be 94.
Could be on TV.
We're not on TV.
Oh, look at John! Look at John! Nice, so, you were right.
So, not the LSU game.
No.
Right?
Not Florida.
Not Florida.
No.
But, I mean,
Georgia was the tie. Right? Yeah, Alabama was a loss. Man. Yeah. It wasn't Clemson 2010 because that ended with them missing that field goal.
Mm-hmm.
This is tough. I need a clue.
All right.
I'm going to go ahead and just say it. I got to have a clue. I got to do like Anorak said and get myself a clue here. All right, here we go.
Welcome to the hint file. Let's get rid of those bleeps and give her a listen.
Well, they put 3 seconds back on the clock, so you give at least the Bulldogs maybe a chance. I don't know. I mean, you have no timeouts left. Well, you almost, if you don't throw it here.
You can get two plays.
If you throw
it. But if you throw the football here.
Hold on a minute. Bulldogs.
Is that 97? Is it that overtime game?
You know what? I'm going to throw one out to you that's completely out of left field. For some reason, we played Mississippi State in a game where they tried to run up the middle on the last play of the game, and our defensive back dove in there and caught him by the ankle and knocked their quarterback down on the goal line. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
When was that?
Yeah.
Was that 14? Maybe it was after the national. We hadn't lost at home yet.
Yeah.
Or 11 after the national championship. I feel like it was a year after a year. So it was either 11 or 14. When do we play Mississippi State at home? Odd or even? We played them. Where did we play them last year? In Starkville?
But last year's schedule was weird.
Crap. All right. You know what? In 2010, we played them in Starkville. So 2011 would be in Auburn. 2014 would have been Starkville. I'm thinking 2011 Mississippi State.
All right. I'll buy that.
I'm all in on very little. The only evidence I have beyond what we've already discussed.
It's Gypsy.
The only evidence I have that's made me go from I have no clue to I'm all in is when he said Bulldogs. And, of course, the first thing crossed my mind, and I'm sure yours too, was Georgia, right?
Yeah. I was thinking about the crazy overtime game, or maybe it's the tie. Maybe it was the tie, and it preserved the not losing streak. Did they say that?
No, because it was us missing. It was Hawkins missing that field goal.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. Okay. Keep going.
Just the word Bulldogs. I stopped it right there because that makes me think it was that. I'm going 11 Mississippi State. Let's hear the rest of the clip.
Second down.
Chris
Rowe. The Tigers have done it again in dramatic fashion. 41-34. The streak is alive at 17.
Yeah, 14 plus 3.
The previous play is under cover of you.
14 plus 3.
Oh, I'm... bet you guys are on the trail now. You'll have to let me know, and I'll see you in the answer file.
Yeah, because we lost. We went up to Clemson. That ended the streak from 2 years. Yeah. All right, I think we got it. Let's see. You feel good about it?
Yeah. No, I like it. Chris Ralph.
Yeah.
John Van, if you guys guessed that this was Auburn playing Mississippi State in 2011, you are correct. I had forgotten about this game until Auburn Elvis brought it to my attention.
What?
Did we say 11 or 14?
11. 14 was...
Oh, okay.
11 That's was right. in Auburn. We figured out the odd numbered years were in Auburn.
A tremendous goal line stand to win the game at the end. Very cool play. Thank you, Auburn Elvis, for the send-in. Again, yes. I am at Yard Sale Artist. That's good. Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's all at Yard Sale Artist if any listeners want to request to play for Guess the Game. And until next time, War Eagle.
Yeah, that was a great one. I appreciate Jared putting it together. And I appreciate Auburn Elvis making the suggestion because we won 14 in a row in 2010. And then we won two in 11. I think that I want to say at the beginning of 11 that maybe that Kansas State game that was ridiculously close, and then another game, and then we won that game. And then I feel like we went up to Clemson the next week, and that was it. That was awesome. Very cool. Very cool.
That was good. Good play. Good call.
Good one. All right, so I think at that point, as I juggle 15 different things, I think at that point I have to ask the gentleman from London to say...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
I don't have facts to back this up.
All right, what do we got?
All right, I asked for some questions related to the NLI issue. I think we got some. So you ready?
Oh, good. Excellent. Excellent.
All right. First question is from Dan Thompson, who says, with regard to the image and likeness changes, do you think the rich will get richer in terms of recruiting, or do you think it's possible that some recruits might opt for being a big fish in a smaller pond so they can more easily make money through endorsements in some places like Murfreesboro?
Interesting. That is a very interesting question. I think that that's the thing. I think that there's a lot about this that we just won't know, right, until we do it. We're just not going to know.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think, are the rich going to get richer? I don't think the recruiting rankings are going to change based on NLI. I really don't. I don't think there's some school out there that's whatever in, you know, New York or, you know, San Francisco, whatever, that's going to make a bunch more money and players are going to want to go there. I just think, like, I don't think it's going to happen. I'll be surprised if it makes a difference in the recruiting side. This is me, and I'm an optimist about stuff, so maybe I'm being naive there. But
yeah.
All right. Our next question is from the E2C Network.
Oh, cool.
Which is, I believe, our friend Clint. Question for the show. What is the weirdest thing you could see an athlete making money on due to NIL?
Well, the weirdest thing they could – yeah.
There are definitely some players that are going to endorse fishing bait. Okay. And that is 100%. There's going to be like, you know, whatever, you know, Jacoby McLean's night crawlers or something is going to be a thing. Something like that. It's players who are, because a lot of players who like fishing, and they're going to endorse like this brand of minnows or worms or whatever. So crickets, I think that's going to happen.
That's pretty good. That makes me think of like one of those bad 80s horror movies by some auteur director like Wes Craven, you know? The depths of darkest horror. Jacoby McLean's Nightcrawlers. In color.
All right. Okay. I mean, I don't think players are allowed to endorse any really weird stuff. I don't think they're allowed to endorse drugs or alcohol. If they were, in a state like Colorado, you could have a player endorsing like, you know, Bob Smith Organic Spot Farm. You know, that would be awesome. I don't think they're allowed to do that.
Wow.
So in a related question, Johnny Dent emails us to ask, since you asked for NIL questions, which companies would be the best fit for an endorsement deal with the following Auburn players. Okay.
Oh, good. We got a list. All right. Let's hit it.
We have a list of players. I'm going to name the player. You have to name a company.
I'll try.
All right. Bo Nix.
GPS?
I was going to say, if there was some product when it's like, when you got to get outside. You know, like some kind of backyard product or something. When you got to get outside.
Scopes and rangefinders. When your accuracy is down, you can't hit the broadside of a barn. Try Bo Nix scopes and rangefinders. Well, guaranteed to improve your accuracy.
Tank Bigsby.
Oh, man. Oh, I mean, like Raytheon, McDonnell Douglas. That would be sweet.
Yeah.
Customize your tank. He come out in a different camouflage outfit. Customize your tank, man. Desert look, jungle look. Oh, yeah.
Run over you and leave you in the dust.
Yeah. Well, you know, shoes would be a big thing for guys like a lot of these guys.
Oh, yeah. All right. Zacoby McClain.
I thought he's already endorsing his horror movie.
Didn't somebody call him the chainsaw? Or what do they call him? I called him that on a bunch of podcasts within the past year. So I think he needs a chainsaw endorsement, like steel or something like that.
I like it. He's got a great name, so it would work for something really well, I would think. I'm just kind of drawing a blank tonight, I'm afraid.
Oh, the Ricochet Rabbit is his other name. So.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's got possibilities for ammunition.
I was going to say like a bumper car ride? Or
yeah, sure, absolutely, yeah. Cartoon? Mm-hmm. It was on YouTube Cartoon.
The Adventures Cartoon Network.
Yeah, The Adventures of Ricochet Rabbit, man. That's...
No, but he just does endorsements for Cartoon Network, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's the sponsor.
This is Ricochet Rabbit for the Cartoon Network.
It's perfect, see?
Yeah.
All right, the last one, Smoke Monday. you got to play it.
Smoke weed every day.
That just wrote itself. Dude, that's a layup.
Marlboro Red by Smoke Monday.
Oh, man.
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
Not anymore. So, those are good. Yeah, there's, we don't still have Christian Tut, do we?
No.
Oh, man, the things they could have done with Tut, like museums, ancient history museums, or some kind of interesting fashions, Egyptian fashion.
Oh, Carlson.
Mm.
The bookstore.
Yeah.
The bookstore endorses him.
Heck, yeah. I see now, they can't like be like soccer and have ads all over their shirt or whatever coming out, or like NASCAR drivers, but it would be funny if he came out to kick and he had like a big Anders bookstore logo on his jersey. That would be hilarious.
Well, but, you know, they could get him to walk around campus wearing a shirt right there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, if you were, you know, if you were Greg Robinson or whatever, and you got hit or somebody that size, you had to do an endorsement deal with like a local pizza chain and wear their shirt around. Everybody would see him. Guy's giant walking around campus, or like Stretch or you know, Dylan Cardwell. You get them to endorse a local pizza place and walking around with the shirt or the hat. Everybody sees it.
Heck yeah. Follow me to the Domino's or whatever, to the Pizza Hut. Yeah, absolutely. It's really going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I'm really curious because honestly, I feel like they're in uncharted territory. They got to do it. It's the right thing to do, but man, this could just, we'll see. We'll see.
All right. Last question comes from tonight's play suggester, Auburn Elvis.
Yeah.
He says, War Eagle guys, he said, I sent Van the sound file for this question. I hope he got it in time. Were either of you present when Junior Rosegreen committed that murder? With him admitting it on Twitter, I'm just wondering if you two would be called to testify at this trial, of which I'm confident no Lee County jury would convict.
Yeah, no jury would convict. Let me see. I remember him now that he – I didn't register that he had sent it to – oh, dang it. Yeah, I don't have
it. All right, it's okay. So we can play it another time. Because he asked, could this file be considered as an addition for the Savoy, the Junior Rose Green clip? there's a great audio video clip of him, you know, commenting on the spot where he made the big hit on the Georgia player. So
I think that's what he's talking about. Yeah.
Yes.
But I don't have it handy. I'm sorry. I didn't think about it.
But another big moment in Auburn Twitter the last week. So
yeah, it was pretty good. if you haven't seen it, and maybe you'll have better luck searching than I did just now, it was out there on Twitter of him basically saying, "That's where I killed a guy." Something. And I'm like, yeah. he was like. The two safeties that always stand out in my mind as like being the deadliest assassins patrolling the backfield were Junior Rose Green and Greg Staples. If I'm going to, you know, get me an enforcer, you know what I mean? It's in the backfield. Mm-hmm. Somebody that's just going to say, you know, you may catch a ball here, but you also may not walk off the field. They may have to carry you off the field. I'm going to get one of those two guys.
I like that call. The, you know, you can't play tackle like they used to. Yeah. And the way, you know, I think the Junior Rose Green hit now will be called targeting.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, John. I told you I watched that 1990 Florida State highlight thing. There was a play where an Auburn, I think it was Dale Overton, went to catch the ball going out of bounds. And the ball went like a mile over his head. And so he didn't even really try to catch it. He just went out of bounds and it went over his head and he just went out of bounds. And as he was going out of bounds, the Florida State guy came in and didn't just hit him from behind, like speared him helmet to helmet in the back of the head. Like they're both facing in the same direction, but Overton was vertical. And this guy was at a 45-degree angle and speared him in the back of the head and just laid him out behind the Florida State bench. And the referee throws they have to call late hit was the only thing that they had that they could call there, I guess. And Bobby Bowden is just all like up in arms. How can you call that? You know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, how can he call that? If that happened today, dude would be ejected. You know what I mean? He wouldn't.
For the rest of the season.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, go back and watch it. It's like he kills him. Poor Dale Overton. So, yeah, that's how far we've come with that, thankfully.
Yeah, he's lucky he wasn't really hurt at that play. And it just, you know, the fact that you're describing a Florida State player taking a cheap shot after the whistle is the least surprising thing that's happened on this episode today.
Yeah, right. to quote Sean Connery, shocking. Yeah, so, right. Any other questions?
No, that's it.
All right. I think we have a quick little get in the car. We haven't taken a trip in a while.
A trip around the FTC.
So, something going on at LSU, it looks like.
Yeah, they fired their offensive line coach this week.
Wow.
No stated reason why. This is the same guy who was there when they won the national title, who they loved then.
Ooh.
But he's out now suddenly, mysteriously. And they did a quick search and hired away Arkansas's offensive line coach, who was pretty good.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, for a bunch more money. But this is like, I think 8 out of 10 position coaches have changed in the last 2 years for Orgeron.
Wow.
So, and again, this is them coming back to brand new coordinators. You know, now an offensive line coach. They've changed after spring practice. Again, the Chizik vibe is still there. I'm just throwing it out there, okay? Still on the table.
Tuberville did this, but he went a couple of years between doing it. This is like every year Orgeron just cleans house. He's like, all right, we went 4-7. Everybody's fired. All right, we went 14-0, won the national championship. Everybody's well, they didn't fire, but yeah, he's just cleaning house constantly. So I guess if you keep the turnover going, then, you know, I mean, Tubbs was able to milk 10 years out of that, so before it caught up with him. So very interesting. All right, LSU, you be you. Anything else going on? Anything else? I saw Alabama, Saban got a new contract because that's great.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but I wasn't going to. I think it goes through 2029, something like that. He'll be 77 or 78 when it's over. So I don't think he's really going to coach that long. I think he's, you know, but I think this pushes the window back to like 2025 now, really.
He's just, I mean, well, nobody's going to run him off unless they start going 8-5 every year.
He could go 8-5 and they would still, again, it's a guaranteed contract. And after the first few years, they've basically given him $800,000 a year bonus to keep coming back every year. That's what's built into the last 4 or 5 years of that deal.
That's what it would take me to go to Tuscaloosa. Give me $800,000. I might think about going down there.
Your bonus to show up every time.
No kidding. All right. Well, I think that's it for tonight. So we're back, and I guess next week we're going to talk about running backs. That'll be exciting. That'll be fun. We'll see what other news is going on. Is there more recruiting going on still, like for a few more days?
Mucho. I mean, yeah, no, it's going to be all the way through the summer. I think there's going to be a lot of recruiting. So I think it's, again, through the end of this month. So I wouldn't – that's why I'm not getting hung up on an individual player or story. I think it's just going to be a constant parade of players in and out of Auburn for the whole of June.
And then once they all commit, they're all going to change. And then once they all sign, they're all going to enter – do that. That's the new thing, man. That's the new normal. Oh. I did see, though, that the SEC went ahead and passed that rule, right, that we've been waiting on, that we knew was coming, about the transfers. Am I correct?
With the SEC rule?
I think the SEC went ahead and said they can transfer and play immediately.
Yes.
So we knew that was coming. It was just a matter of them doing it. So, so Finley's good. He doesn't have to sit out.
Kaufman.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. That'll do it. Let's wrap it up. Just had a couple of little quick double checks there. All right. So I guess we'll see you guys next time. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Wargle, John.
Wargle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.